Exodus 15, everyone. We made it. The chains are off, the past is gone, the enemy defeated. The road before us, the Lord is with us, a song on our lips and a tune in our hearts. It's time to dance, people. And Jonathan Ferguson is here.
Wow, that was a very kind introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. I felt a little guilty for the whole introducing you with the plagues thing. Plus, today I've got a song in my heart.
Nice. Though, I'm pretty sure that you always have a song in your heart. You sneak them into our studies at every opportunity.
This is true, but today is different. Today, something about this story and this chapter, it's like one of those songs that takes you back and reminds you of what matters. It's hard to put into words.
Well, that's what songs are for. God gave us music to express what words alone cannot. And Exodus 15 is, in fact, a song. The Israelites have crossed the sea. The enemy that marched out to destroy them, the enemy that held them oppressed for generations, is defeated. The mighty hand of God has rescued and delivered. And they just start singing.
I really do love this chapter. Songs are powerful. A song can change your mood, change your outlook, take you back in time, express your heart, or move you to tears. And that's just one Adele song.
When We Were Young?
Make You Feel My Love. Bob Dylan wrote it. So good.
And Exodus 15 expresses the pent-up emotion of generations of chained-up oppression finally set free. So let's dive in. Verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him.
The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name.
The song goes on, but the first thing that strikes me is that they don't just sing about the Lord, but to the Lord. And this is a victory song. God won. The Egyptians came to attack. The Israelites were unprepared, but the Lord won the day.
And this victory song is both the first and last song in the Bible. In Revelation 15, John sees in heaven what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing by the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast, singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. It's also quoted in Psalm 118 and Isaiah 12. It is sung each time in gratitude for rescue and deliverance. And for us, who have been delivered from sin and death, who know that the sin that enslaved us is defeated and dead, we too have a song to sing.
And the song of Moses is also in Singing in the Rain.
I'm pretty sure you're thinking of Moses Supposes His Toes Are Roses.
Oh yeah, that one's different. Incredible dance number though.
That is true.
But seriously, my favorite part of this song is verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. That verse is incredible. It just says it. Now, the NIV has the word defense instead of song, but every other translation has it as song. So what does it mean? How is the Lord my strength or my song? Well, think of it like this. If I say running is my strength, that means I'm good at running. It gives me confidence. For some people, words are a strength. For some, intellect or music or sport or business or whatever your skill. But Moses says, the Lord is my strength. My confidence, the one I lean on when I need perseverance and power, is my maker. And he is my song. This one is powerful to me and personal. I enjoy lots of different music. But when I call a song my song, I'm talking about my heart. Like, we have history together. Partly it's the lyrics, partly it's the tune, but more important, we've been through it together. Me and my song. Only a few songs are like that.
All right, share one.
Okay, 2008, last day of the hardest job and hardest year of my life. I didn't even know how I'd survive. Walking out, stepped in my car, closed the door, put the CD in. OC Supertones, We Shall Overcome. That was my victory song.
Nice. I got one too. 1996, sophomore in high school. New album from The Cry, and I hear a song that got me thinking about missions. Jason. It says, goodbye, goodbye home, goodbye, I really have to go. I hear the voice of Jesus calling me.
All right, I got another one. 1992, windows down in my little red Nissan Sentra with the love of my life. Nice. On the tape deck, warm it up, Chris.
Wait, did you just go crisscross?
Dude, that was my jam. It has my name in it, and the prettiest girl I'd ever seen sang it with me. She still does sometimes. And for me, when Moses says, "The Lord is my song," it means that. God was with me. He was the tune in my heart and the strength in my bones, and still is. We got through it together, my Lord and me. And here, on the other side of the sea, Moses can add to that, he has become my salvation.
That's good. And verse 2 continues, "He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." That simple declaration is an essential one. He is my God. By covenant, he is mine, and I am his, so I will praise. I will sing about it. I will lift him high.
Verse 3, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." This one is about the growing understanding of who God is, the revelation of God through his word, and the revelation of his nature through Moses' life. Moses knew the voice of God and the calling of God. The Lord revealed his name to Moses and his heart and concern for Israel. But now Moses has seen the Lord is a warrior. The Egyptians attacked and the Lord stepped in to fight.
As the song moves forward, the Israelites recall the taunts of the enemy and the victory of the Lord. It's a song of triumph and a song in awe of the Lord. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?
Moses' song is followed by another from Miriam, who leads the women in song and dance. Notice that Miriam, a woman, is both prophetess and worship leader here. Also notice, dancing. I love dancing.
The chapter ends with Israel on the move again, as Moses leads them into the desert of Shur. 3 days go by without finding water, and their singing turns to grumbling in a hurry.
In verse 23, they arrive at Marah. Marah means bitter, and there is water, but it's too bitter to drink. And the people grumble again. But the Lord shows Moses a piece of wood. In verse 25, he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet and fit to drink.
Odd little story, but the Lord has a lesson here for Israel and for us. Sometimes it seems like God leads us to bitter waters, but he has a plan, and if we trust him, what was bitter may become sweet.
Wood in the Bible often points to the cross, and it is at the cross that we lose our bitterness, as we forgive and are forgiven, and life can be sweet again.
And in verse 26, the Lord makes this decree. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you."
That statement is a big deal. God reveals here a new aspect to his name as he says, "I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Our God is a healer."
Interesting to note here that in the Bible, the Lord's healings is sometimes miraculous, but also many times natural. Here he speaks of keeping his commands and decrees. In Leviticus, we'll see a vast number of sanitation and hygiene laws that are millennia ahead of their time, and following those would indeed keep Israel from many diseases. The Lord our healer works in many ways.
And that's it. Read Exodus 15 and join us on Side B as we dig into the Song of Moses a little more. And you find your song in him.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.